The Columbia Workshop is on the air, presenting radio's foremost laboratory for new writing and production techniques. Today, for the third program in the new Columbia Workshop series, Just a Plain Blue Suit, written by David Leeson. The special music was composed and conducted by Norman Lockwood. The program is produced and directed by Howard G. Barnes.
And in token of the gratitude of the free people of the United States of America, it gives me extreme pleasure to present to you your country's supreme gift, the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, son. Sergeant Murphy, step forward, please. Sergeant Murphy, for your aggressive action and valorous conduct on the initial beachhead of Okinawa, for your courageous and successful attempts to rescue three wounded comrades while under severe enemy mortar and machine gun fire, although already twice wounded yourself, your superior officers have recommended you for the highest award which can be given by the American people. Sergeant Murphy, as representative of the President of the United States of America, it is now my privilege to bestow upon you the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Sergeant. Civilian Joe Vannelli, please step forward. Civilian Joe Vannelli, in recognition of your high sense
of... Just a minute, Mr. Secretary. There's been a terrible mistake made somewhere.
Mistake, Joe? What do you mean?
I mean me standing here with no uniform on. I'm just a plain guy, Mr. Secretary. I've got no idea how my name got on your list. I've got no idea how I even got mixed up in the ceremony. I mean, me standing here like this, well, it's taken up everybody's time. This must be pretty embarrassing for you, Mr. Secretary. I know it is for me.
I think I see what you mean. Oh, Sergeant Murphy.
Yes, sir?
Will you put the rest of these gentlemen at ease?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant. Now, Joe, you were saying...
It's like this, Mr. Secretary. I'm no hero, see? I'm not even a soldier. Why, the biggest thing I ever shot at was one of them clay pigeons. At that, they had the gun chained to the counter. And look how I'm dressed. Just a plain blue suit. And all of a sudden, I find myself mixed up with these other guys here. These heroes. Why, I couldn't even stretch a point and claim I was a hero on the home front. You want to know what I did during the war? I worked for a little outfit called the Flatland Life Insurance Company. In a foxhole, they call them the claims department. That's what I did before the war, and I'll probably do it the rest of my life, which isn't very heroic, huh? So I just wanted to tell you this so you wouldn't do anything foolish with one of the medals, because I'm no hero, Mr. Secretary. But I'm no heel either. And I bet there isn't a guy here that wanted to be a hero any more than Joe Vannelli did. I guess that sounds kind of off-key in a ceremony like this, but it's the truth just the same. I got lots of Italian blood in me, see? And it gets hot awful fast sometimes. Like it did the day they hit Pearl Harbor.
Joe, you heard?
Of course I heard. How could I help from here?
Joe, you're shaking.
Yeah, Ollie. I'm shaking. I'm mad, Ollie.
We've been waiting for you, the kids and me. We're going to go to church, Joe. I feel like we've got to pray.
Yeah, that's good. You and the kids. I'll meet you later.
You better come, too. Joe, where are you going?
Post office.
Post office on Sunday?
Recruiting office, Ollie. They're going to be open.
Joe, you're going to...
Yeah, of course I'm going to. I'm mad, Ollie.
Okay, Joe. The kids and me, we're going to go pray.
All right, you guys, keep moving. Watch the man in front of you. Do everything he does. Carry your shoes in your hand. Come on, let's go there, Mac.
Over here, boy. I want to hear your heart. How old are you?
32.
Ever had any heart disease?
Me, heart disease? Are you kidding?
No, mister, I'm not kidding. I don't have time for jokes today.
Well, me neither, but there's nothing wrong with my heart.
Yeah, we'll be hearing a lot of that from now on. Heart. We can't use you, fella.
Can't use me? Well, listen, Doc, there's nothing wrong with me. I was never sick a day in my life.
Don't argue. We haven't time to argue.
I'm not arguing. I'm telling you, I never had any trouble with my heart.
You've got trouble now, fella. Step down. Scratch him off, Sergeant.
I already scratched it. And that, Mr. Secretary, is how I started off the war. I go in that joint, a potential hero, and come out 4F. Oh, I hate that 4F. But there was no sense crying about it. There were still plenty of ways to pitch if a guy wanted to pitch, and I was the guy that wanted to pitch.
You wanted to see me, Joe?
Yes, sir. Mr. Evans, I've been working for you for 9 years, and, well, you're a great guy, Mr. Evans.
Huh. Yes, Joe, I know. I'm a great guy, and you hate to quit, but you feel you have to. Is that it?
Yeah, that's about it. How did you know?
Well, Joe, after you were here as much as I have since Pearl Harbor, you got to know what's coming. Where to? Shipyards, Joe?
Yeah. I've done a lot of thinking, see?
I don't blame you, Joe. I can't match those salaries.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mr. Evans. It's not salaries I'm after. If I wanted more money, I'd be talking money. I'm 4F, Mr. Evans, like you know. A lot of guys think of 4F like it was a gravy train. They look at you a minute and they say, 4F, huh? That's too bad. The old army's gonna miss you. Yeah. But what they're thinking goes like this. You look plenty healthy to me, bud. Bad heart, huh? It beats, don't it? What do you want in there, Chimes? Maybe that's what you thought, Mr. Evans. Vanelli's 4F. You don't have to worry about being drafted. Watch him throw it into me for a nice stiff raise.
No, Joe. That's not what I thought.
4F, the old gravy train. Well, I don't like gravy that way. Gravy's cooked up to pass around. This is good work here. I like it, see? But I got more guts and brains than this job takes. I'm spinning my wheels here. We need ships, so I ought to be out building ships.
So should I, Joe.
You, Mr. Evans?
Why not me? Batan fell last week. And what about next week? Don't you think I'm mad, too? Don't you think I want to fight, too?
Sure you do, Mr. Evans. Sure.
Only what? You're sore because you're 4F. All right, Vanelli, I'm sore because I'm 4H, and we can both build ships.
But you own a life insurance company. You can't just chuck this all away and breeze over to the shipyard.
That's what you're doing, isn't it?
No, this isn't my business.
Tell that to the Marines, Joe. Or better yet, tell it to their wives and kids waiting for those claims to be settled. Tell them it isn't your business.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Evans. I didn't come here to get into an argument.
No, you came in here to quit. You're spinning your wheels. You've got too much guts and brains for this job. Maybe so, but what about that empty desk next to you? And the one across the aisle? Have you got enough guts and brains to handle 3 jobs, 6 jobs, 10 jobs? Because that's what I'm going to have to do.
What do you think I've been doing, anagrams? I'm doing 4 guys' work right now.
Sure, and you're going to quit, too. Shipyards. Good pay. Exciting. Setting new records. Bust a champagne bottle every 5 minutes. Gravy train? Huh. Why, you'll be riding in the dining car.
You don't have to talk like that, Evans.
Go ahead. Guts and brains, set your record. Bust your champagne bottle. But just remember this. When they give you your gas coupons and tire certificates, when they pat you on the back, when they kick you upstairs with a Christmas bonus, remember this, Vanelli, that there's an old dope by the name of Evans trying to run a life insurance company who has more guts and brains than you'll ever have, and he'll be using them the hard way.
I'll have your check in the morning. Is there anything else?
Yeah, Evans. I don't know where you got your lousy opinion of me, but you're going to eat it, gravy and all. Because I'm not going to quit, Evans. After what you just said, you couldn't fire me. Me and my big mouth, Mr. Secretary. I sit there and talk myself out of the last chance I got of being a hero. How do you like that? It seems like every time I start in the pitch, I wind up with a catcher's mitt on each hand. Now, take Ollie, for instance. Well, I even crumbed up her big chance to be a hero because I couldn't keep my snoot out of somebody else's business.
Joe?
I'm home, Ollie.
Hi.
Hi.
What's new with Mrs. V and all the little V's?
Well, let's see. Your son's been shooting jacks all afternoon in the living room. Susie's been trying to get her teeth on the puppy's foot. Outside of that, nothing new.
Susie's okay now, huh?
Mm-hmm. Doctor said not even bring her down anymore.
Swell. I got the hospital bill today.
Bad, Joe?
It wiped out those $450 war bonds. I cashed them in at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen the look on that guy's face when I pushed them bonds out. For a minute, I thought I was Tojo. Sure made me feel like a heel.
Would have been worse heels not to pay the hospital, Joe.
Sure, sure, Ollie. And that's his duty, to make you feel like a heel. But that extra dirty look he threw at me was over and above the call of duty.
Thank goodness you have a sense of humor.
You gotta have, when nothing's funny.
Hmm. You hungry?
Not much. I got a bellyache.
You've been eating Kelly's beef stew again.
No. My bellyache's in my pocketbook.
Joe, quit worrying. We'll get by.
Yeah. How about me drowning my troubles in a salami sandwich?
Try and find any. How about some poor man salami?
Oh, peanut butter again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now what? I'll go.
All right. Hi, brother-in-law.
Hey, Ollie. Speaking of the poor man's salami, look at this bundle of red points.
Hello, sis. I haven't seen you for a week.
Where'd you get the get-up?
Overtime bought me this. Like it?
It's sure pretty, Jane.
I only got a minute, Ollie. The foreman of my department is waiting for me downstairs. Oh, cut it out, Joe. I got a 10-cent raise. Oh, Ollie, I told you I'd let you know. Consolidated's starting to hire again tomorrow. They need 16,000
more. Consolidated? Hey, what goes on? Are you trying to break up my happy home?
Well, start her at 80 cents. But on a 60-hour week, that'll buy a lot of clothes, Ollie.
Yeah, sure. But what about the kids? Just put them on ice until the war's over?
Oh, don't be silly, Joe. I'm working.
Yeah, you're working. Day and night.
Well, not every night. And I don't keep my Billy on ice.
Yeah, Jenny, what does Billy do all day? Did you ever care to find out?
Why, he eats his meals with his grandma and plays all day in the park. What could be sweeter?
Sweeter for who, Jenny? You or Billy?
Well, you have to get nasty about it, Joe. Jenny's here doing me a favor.
What did you mean by that crack, Joe?
Just this. I used to cut across that park every night on my way home. I don't ever see no Billy. You know where I used to find him?
Go ahead. You're telling me.
Joe, are you sure this is any of your business?
That's up to Jane. I used to see him across the street, loafing and sniping butts with those two baby gangsters in front of that dime movie house that belongs to old man Schultz.
Now, ain't that terrible? He just happens to be nuts about those Disney cartoons.
Could be, but that was no pair of Mickey mice he was hanging out
with. Oh, Joe, don't be such an old woman. Billy's 14, he can take care of himself.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to have to.
Hey, what are you, the neighborhood MP?
Okay, so it's none of my business. But I don't want any of my kids graduating from reform school, and Ollie don't need any new clothes that day.
And the war effort can go jump in the lake, huh, Joe? Or wouldn't you know anything about the war effort?
War effort? To me, it's like charity, lady. It strictly begins at home. You don't fight a war hanging around the streets or hitting the beer parlors. And wouldn't your old man be proud of the war effort was he to come home and find you and your foreman out on the town, and Billy and Somali learning to shoot craps?
Get him. Parson Joe. You better break him of that preaching habit, Ollie, before somebody slaps that pretty 4F head loose from those manly shoulders. Me, I don't like the odor in here. Good night, Ollie. And oh, yeah. Good night, Reverend Vanelli.
Good night, war worker.
Joe.
All right, so I lost my temper, so I wasn't very nice, so I embarrassed you, so I'm sorry. You know that. Where's that peanut butter sandwich?
Joe.
I said I was sorry.
What happened?
What are you talking about?
About Billy. What happened to Billy, Joe?
Billy? Nothing. Nothing that I know of.
Tell me. She's my sister. Tell me.
Oh, it was just a kid's scrape. It's all blown over. Now forget it.
We'll forget nothing. What happened?
Okay. You're the boss, Ollie. Billy and then Nicky Mice stick up old man Schultz the other night.
Joe.
They used knives in an alley.
Nice.
Boy Scout knives, Ollie.
Nice clean boy.
Yeah, the kid's learning fast.
Why didn't you tell this to Jane?
I did better. I told the cop, the scoutmaster, and the priest. They know more about that kid than she'll ever know. And they worked him over, Ollie, plenty. He returned what he stole, and old man Schultz promised not to prefer any charges.
Mm-hmm.
The Mickey Mice blew town. So you see, Ollie, everything's okay now.
Yeah, I see, Joe. I see something else, too. Somebody paid back old man Schultz in full. What did it cost you, Joe?
Well, let's forget it, Ollie. Come on.
What did it cost you?
$230.
You crazy? We hadn't got that much.
I borrowed it from the bank, Ollie. I was trying to save them bonds, and Then Susie goes to the hospital, so, well, the bonds went away. Now you know why that cashier gave me that extra look, huh? Well, the Reverend Benelli's going to bed. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Praise the... I figured I owed Jenny that much just for being your sister, Ollie. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Ammunition? Hey, Ollie, where's that peanut butter sandwich? So, Ollie passed up that war job, Mr. Secretary, which left her and me just about the most civilian in the whole country, I guess. But we got nice kids, Mr. Secretary, real nice kids. Well, finally, last year, I got my big chance. Yeah, I finally got to do something. I helped a guy, Mr. Secretary. Out of 11 million men fighting this war, I finally got me a chance to help one guy. And the way I helped him... Well, Mr. Secretary, for just a plain guy, I come across a mighty screwy act.
Hey, Joe. Here's a claim I don't know quite what to do with.
Okay, good. Tell your Uncle Joe what's the matter with it.
Well, this here is kind of pitiful, Joe. This guy don't pay his premium on time, see?
So what? I don't either, and I work for this joint. Old man Evans still gives him 30-day grace period.
Yeah, but this guy takes 31 days. He mails his check one day too late.
Okay, so it suspends his policy still, so what? He paid the premium, didn't he?
Yeah. But let me...
Then all the guy has to do is sign one of them insurability forms showing that he's still insurable, tuck it in an envelope, and send it back. Then the Flatland Life Insurance Company and or old man Evans pats him on the head, puts his policy back into effect. You get 100 of them a day.
Joe, what I'm trying to tell you is... This guy here ain't gonna sign no slip.
How do you know whether he's gonna sign it or not?
Because the guy's dead, Joe.
Oh. That makes it different. Well, that guy's out of luck.
It seems the mail service between here and Iwo Jima is kind of slow.
Iwo Jima? Gee, that's rough. Plenty rough.
Yeah. I got the guy's check, but I can't send it in without a form, and the poor guy can't sign a form.
Married and kids, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, sure. Wouldn't it be that way, though? Here's a letter. Flatland Life Insurance Company, dear sirs. I do not understand why there is some trouble about this policy. My husband fought hard and tried to do a good job. He would want for me and his kids to have that $2,000 which we need bad. Sincerely, Mrs. Peter Wojnarowski.
What?
Oh, gee, the poor kid.
Wojnarowski. Go ahead, let me see that.
Oh, well, what's the matter?
Pete Wojnarowski.
Maybe you knew him?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew him. Him and me went through high school together.
Yeah? Oh, gee, that's pitiful.
Oh, this makes me sick. Him and me used to win the handball doubles every year like clockwork.
You know his wife, too?
Sure, and his kids. Two of them. Round and warm, and they smelled nice, like fresh bread.
Joe, that's terrible. All he had to do was sign one of them little slips, huh?
He was a plenty good handball player. Him and me used to win them doubles.
Yeah.
Look at the signature on that check. Looks like a chicken walked across it, huh?
Yeah. Shaky, kind of.
I imagine my hand would shake just like old Pete's if I was on Iwo Jima.
Yeah. Oh, that's pitiful. Well, Joe, maybe you better handle this, huh? It's 5:15 now and those lousy...
Yeah, let me handle it, Jack. Oh, ask Pop to send me up a salami on the line your way out, huh?
Salami he hasn't got. Peanut butter only.
Well, then skip it.
Don't sit there and brood about that half the night, Joe. It's just one of them things.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. Just one of them things. Oh, Pete Wojnarowski. Lousy signature. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord. And pass. Pete, I've got an awful funny feeling that the claims department of the Flatland Life Insurance Company has reached a point where it's going to stretch a point. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The world's lousiest signature. I signed your name now 450 times, and still I can't write it as lousy as you did. Oh, that's not bad. It ain't Palmer method, but it ain't bad. Yep. I think I'm ready now, Pete. Private First Class Peter Wojnarowski, deceased. Stand up. Raise your right hand. Oh. Okay, then use your left, Pete. Okay. Now, this is the $2,000 question, and it's sort of technical. Now, do you, Peter Wojnarowski, hereby empower me, Joe Vannelli, with the power of attorney to forge your signature to any and all documents? All right, Pete. Now, here we go. Help me, Pete. Help me all you can. Concentrate, Pete. Concentrate. P-E-T-E-R-W-O-J-I-N. Oh, yes. Oh, rats. I can't do it, Pete. It's no good. I just can't do it. I'm only kidding myself. A guy can't be a right guy in the wrong way, and that's just what I'm trying to do. And me breaking the law to help you is wrong. Seems like every blasted thing I try to do in this war is wrong. Ever since Pearl Harbor, everything I try to do is wrong. It seems that...
Silver Nelly! Huh? Well, what are you doing here this time of night?
Oh, hello, Rosie. Nothing. I'm not doing nothing.
Good grief, if you ain't made a mess here. How can I mop up with all them slips of paper scattered all over the floor?
Oh, you can mop them up, Rosie. They're no good.
Oh, dear.
I was just practicing, sort of. But they're no good now.
Yeah? Sure, Joe?
Yeah, I'm sure. Took me a long time to get it into my thick head, but I'm sure.
Okay. Joe, will me turning this radio on bother you? I always catch them news roundups in here while I'm off. Hey, you sure you're okay, Joe?
Yeah, I'm okay. You see, Rosie, no matter how much you want to help a guy and his wife and his kids, you can't help him by tearing down the same things he's fighting for. And whether you like it or whether you don't, Rosie, the law is the law because the law is your security, Rosie. And what guys like Peter fighting for, security.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, I don't know what you're talking about, but you don't look good. You look like you've seen a ghost.
I did see a ghost, Rosie. But he's gone now. And I'm going home.
Hmm. Well, better turn up that radio if I'm ever going to get the news tonight.
Now for the first lap on our early morning news roundup. Out across the Pacific to Sydney, Australia. All of you in America, cheery Tuesday morning. Both down under, it's a warm, sunny Wednesday afternoon. There's nothing like an international dateline to mix things up, is there?
Dateline? Rosie, turn off that radio.
Side of the day.
Sure, sure, Joe.
The high command.
Well, what's the matter now, Joe?
Now stand there, Rosie. Don't move and think. Think, real hard. Did that guy just say it was Wednesday in Australia when it was Tuesday in America?
Sure, Joe, that's right.
You sure that's what he said?
Sure, I'm sure.
Then... it's Wednesday in Iwo Jima, too, isn't
it? Yeah.
But it's only Tuesday here, huh?
That's right, Joe.
Then, when it was January 9th in Iwo Jima, it was only January 8th here.
Sure, Joe.
Rosie, give you, Joe, a great big hug and a kiss because that insurance policy is as good as gold.
Well, you must be crazy. What are you talking about?
The dateline, Rosie, the dateline, the difference in dates. Although the difference between the dates was 31 days, the actual elapsed time was 30 days. So Pete did mail a check in time. Pete, you're in, your policy is okay. Rosie, come on, sweetheart. You and I are going to have a drink. We're going to celebrate.
Oh, sure. Okay, Joe, but listen, what are we celebrating?
We're going to toss one off for a client of mine. Private First Class Peter Wojcinski.
Please step forward.
Yes, Mr. Secretary.
Civilian Giovanelli, because you are a civilian, and because you have a wife like Ollie and a boss like old man Evans, because you kept your temper and didn't cry the blues and you helped with the dinner dishes, because you and Pete Wojnarowski proved that being a right guy sometimes pays off, and because together you won a war, because of all those things, Joe, as representative of the President of the United States, I take the extremely democratic pleasure of conferring upon your plain blue suit the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Joe. Hey. Hey, Joe. Joe, can't you hear me? Hey, wake up. What's the matter with you? Joe.
Hmm?
Joe, come on, get up. Get up, Joe.
What's the matter?
Are you out of your head?
What? What's the matter, Ollie?
Well, you're never going to catch that bus just sitting there staring at that newspaper with your mouth hanging open and your eyes bugged out like you was a trout.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I must have been daydreaming.
Well, you picked a rotten day for it. It's Monday and it's raining.
That's the darndest thing ever happened to me. I was reading about the secretary handing out all the medals to them 20 guys, and the next thing I know, you were shouting at me.
I had to shout, Joe. You look just like a trout.
Ollie, did you read about some of the things them guys did? Talk about your heroes.
Yes, I read it.
That must have been a plenty beautiful ceremony, huh?
Imagine how those boys must feel.
Yeah, and their wives and their kids.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, did you notice that squib at the bottom of the first page?
No, what squib?
The one where they claim they're going to take the points off peanut butter.
Peanut butter, phooey. What do we care? Now we can get salami.
Just a Plain Blue Suit by David Leeson has been the third in the new series of Columbia Workshop Productions. Norman Lockwood composed and conducted the special musical score. The players included Larry Haynes, Charlotte Holland, Peggy Stanley, Reed Brown Jr., Jimmy McCallion, Nora Marlowe, Julian Noah, Don Douglas, Mary Michael, and Lyle Sudrow. Howard G. Barnes produced and directed today's script for the Columbia Workshop. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will offer Hard Luck Story by Henry Denker and Ralph Berkey, and will be directed by Albert Ward. The announcer is Sandy Becker. For PBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.